Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I'm going to ask you now to do an extra special job of drawing our attention to the Word. I know sometimes it's difficult when it's hot like this and folks are tired. But God, I believe the message today is perhaps one of the most vital messages any one of us could hear and learn. Not the presentation, but the truth presented. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that today you'd stir our hearts. And God, cause us to learn something and to practice something that will make a difference in our lives and the lives of many others for years and years, yes, even eternity. And I thank you, Lord, that we can come to you and expect you to bless your word, because your word does not return void. So God, we're excited today with that which we're doing, because that which is about to transpire is eternal in nature. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would again use the wonderful word of God and the Spirit of God to work in our lives. Now, Lord, I pray for utmost of strength and grace and power, even in my own life. Lord, I pray that you'll help me to have clarity of thought. And God, I pray that as we preach the word, that it will be sealed to our hearts. Bless now, Lord, and protect us from our enemy, Satan, by the blood of Christ, in whose name I pray. Amen. I'm going to preach on a theme this morning that I've preached on before. And some of these things may be very familiar to you. However, by the same token, I don't think I've ever arranged them quite in this way. And I believe that the arrangement of the things that I'm about to tell you can be very, very helpful to you. As a matter of fact, I would encourage you this morning to take some notes. They'll not be extensive notes, but basically just very simple notes. I'm going to talk to you this morning about the theme and the subject of forgiveness. Not so much the forgiveness of God towards us, though we'll mention that. But this morning I want to talk to you about forgiving other people. And I believe it's one of the most tremendous things, one of the most spirit-freeing things that you can ever be involved in, is to know what it's like to really forgive people. And I'm going to try to help you with that theme of forgiveness. We're going to look this morning at the what of forgiveness, the who of forgiveness, the why of forgiveness, the when of forgiveness, and the how of forgiveness. And I believe they'll be a blessing to you, all right? So let's look together in the Word of God, and I want to teach you for just a few moments from the Scriptures what forgiveness is really about. When we talk about forgiveness, a lot of times people have a false concept of what the Bible really means about forgiveness. They think that sometimes when you say, I forgive you, means that, we'll just let it slide by. In other words, I'll not constantly be bringing it up anymore, and we'll make peace, and we'll say I'm sorry, and we'll go on from there. You know, like the little kids say, you know, when they're forced to, I'm sorry, you know, and away they go. You know, that's how it is. You know, they have to say they're sorry. You know, they've got to get that out. And sometimes we're like that too, you know, and we think that that's what all forgiveness is basically about. But there's one word in Scripture which I believe helps us more than anything else to realize what forgiveness really is. And it's found in the area of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. So please take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 this morning. And we're going to look at the what of forgiveness. And I think that this one word, if you'll let it stick in your mind, and if you'll get a picture of it, will help you understand what God means about forgiveness. He uses an unusual term here, and this is the only one of the places where he uses this particular term with regards to sins or trespasses, all right? So we're in Matthew chapter 6, and I want to kind of break into the middle of the Lord's Prayer in verse 11, where it says, listen carefully now, it says in Matthew 6:11, give us this day our daily bread or our food, and then in verse 12 he says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. He uses the word, instead of saying sins or trespasses, like he does over in Luke and other places of Scripture, here he uses the term debts. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And that's probably one of the better terms here that we can use to get a picture of what happens to us when in this area of forgiveness. And it says a little bit further down the line that if we forgive men their trespasses, in verse 14, your heavenly Father also will forgive you. He's talking about the same thing, but he uses a different word here. Instead of sins or instead of trespasses, he uses the term debts. Now look, whenever anybody sins against you, they owe you something. Whether you want to admit it, they have cost you something. And they have something on the balance sheet that says a deficit. And when you sin against somebody, you owe them something. There is a debt there. And there's no two ways that you can cut it, because that's the way it is. It might be an emotional debt. It might be a spiritual debt. It might be a financial debt. There's been some sacrifice on your part. Maybe they have brought a shame on your reputation. But nonetheless, they owe you a debt. There is a debt on that column on your balance sheet. And so when someone then sins against you, they owe you something. Now the truth is that they never can really pay that back. Because you cannot undo a sin. Did you hear me? You cannot undo a sin. And so it can never be just like it used to be. I could take a hammer here and I could start pounding away at this pulpit here and putting great big dents in the pulpit. And I might get forgiveness, but I can't fix the pulpit to back like it was. Oh, I can try to smooth it out and so forth, and maybe try to swell it up with some water or something, but I'll never get it quite back like the way it was, because there's some marks there that cannot be undone. And so when we sin against somebody, you cannot really ever pay that debt back. And it's a debt. Now, the truth is that God's plan is that you and I ought to forgive someone else their debts against us. Well, another word for forgive here is to pay. Real forgiveness is paying someone else's debt. In other words, you take that debt that they owe you, and you're the only one that has this right or privilege, and you stamp on that debt that they owe you, paid. P-A-I-D, paid. And as soon as you do that, you are even with them. And they are even with you. They owe you no longer anything. And they couldn't pay you anyway. The only person that can pay that debt is you. And that's the way it was with Jesus Christ. You see, we owed God something. And Jesus paid the debt for us. We couldn't pay it. No matter how hard we tried, we could not pay it. And Jesus paid it, the price for us, and then He forgave us our sins. We are forgiven. The debt is paid. You didn't pay it. I didn't pay it. Jesus paid it. But He says, I'll pay your debt for you. And that's what forgiveness is all about. When someone sins against you, you need to pay their debt. And say, all right, God, I'm asking you for the grace to say to them, you no longer owe me anything. Do they deserve that? Oh, no, they don't deserve that. Neither did you deserve to be forgiven of your sins. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But forgiveness is for you to take and show the grace, the undeserved merit towards that person and say, look, I'm going to pay that debt for you. I'm going to pay that debt for you. That's what forgiveness is. Then when the devil comes along and he says, oh, do you remember what so-and-so did to you? Say, yeah, I remember. So that's a terrible thing. Oh, that's been taken care of. Amen? That has been taken care of. That's paid in full. That debt doesn't exist anymore. That has been taken care of. That's forgiveness. In other words, we are going to hold that sin no longer against that person because the debt has been paid. Not just so we say, okay, I'm going to forget it, and we'll just kind of pass over it. No, it's still there. The debt's still there. The debt needs to be paid, and you're the only one that can pay it. And so you pay that debt, and then the next time it comes up, and you just say, hey, look, it's been taken care of. They're no longer a debtor to me. Now, God says that we're to forgive our debtors. That's very important to it. And so if you can just picture that, well, that's what forgiveness is about. And if you go back in your mind and you still have some hurt in your life over something that someone has done to you, no matter what it is, then maybe you haven't paid the debt yet. You might have said, well, we'll just not worry about it. We'll just set it over here, but that doesn't pay it. It needs to be paid. It needs to be taken care of. And there are a lot of people who have so much frustration and so much bitterness built up in their life simply because of all the things that have happened unto them and all these things, and they're just drawn down to the depths of their soul, and they're so bitter and they're so broken because we indeed, every one of us, have had debt after debt after debt after debt encumbered into our life, and people have indebted us with their sins against us. Whether it be thought or word or deed, they have sinned against us again and again and again. And I'll tell you what, it'll happen tomorrow too. It'll happen today. You are going to be sinned against. And if you don't know how to balance the sheet with forgiveness, you're going to have a hard time in life. You'll never be able to have any peace in your soul. You'll never be able to have any real joy in your life. You'll never have a clear conscience. Because there's all this debt pulling you. But you say, if you learn to pay those debts as soon as they come, boy, you can stay on top all the time. It's a wonderful thing.
It's a wonderful thing. That is what forgiveness is all about. It's paying someone else's debt. Who's supposed to forgive sins? Colossians chapter 3 tells us pretty plainly. In verse 13 of Colossians 3, we read these words. Listen to this. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man hath a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now, if you're anybody, and most of you are, all right, I can tell by looking at you, you're somebody, all right? But look, no matter who it is, God says any man. If somebody owes you something, if they sinned against you, then you have the responsibility as a Christian, as a representative of Jesus Christ, to forgive that person. You say, man, they'll just keep taking advantage of me. Don't worry about it. Just pay that. You see, look, it'll be a blessing to you just to be free. Don't let someone else's sin encumber you with a sin of bitterness or discouragement or anything else. I'm not going to let somebody else rob my joy, especially some wild character that wants to be mean to me. I'm not going to give them the joy of robbing my joy. No way. Just not going to let it happen. All right? So any of us then, who's supposed to forgive? Who are we supposed to forgive? Anybody. Anybody that sins against you, you have the power and you have all the riches of heaven available to you that you can pay anybody's debt. There isn't anybody that can do anything to you that you can't pay their debt for. Through forgiveness. You've got it all available. I mean, you've got plenty in the bank. Amen? Huh? You have the riches of Christ available to you. And you have what it takes to but you're going to have to get it from Him because you don't have it in and of yourself. Okay? Cash flow's low sometimes. Amen? Huh? That's true of our spiritual cash flow too. And you don't have it within yourself, and you, if you're going to get forgiveness towards somebody, you're going to have to get it from God Almighty. Say, God, I need forgiveness towards this person. I need to have you pour out your grace upon my life that I in turn might be able to take that grace and pay this person's debt. Grace, unmerited favor. It's available to you. It's available to you. It's paying someone else's debt. Who's supposed to do it? Everybody. Every time someone sins against them. Now, why? Why should we do that? That doesn't seem right, does it? Does that seem fair that every time somebody sins against you, you go ahead and pay their debt? That just doesn't seem just to me. That doesn't seem fair. And the old devil comes along and says, hey, they're crooks. I mean, they don't give a rip about you. They hurt you here, there, and the other place. They don't care about you. Why should you then go ahead and just forgive them? They're making a doormat out of you. You felt that, haven't you? So have I. So has everybody. They're taking advantage of you. But you know something? My Bible says, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, when you and I get to the point of perfection, and we never need any forgiveness, you might have a better case, but still not a good one. And so, if you learn to practice forgiveness, you will receive some once in a while.
Right.
And if you'll read through some of the parables, you'll find out those who would not practice forgiveness, they stopped getting forgiveness. Remember the man that owed a great debt to his master, and the master said, "I'm going to forgive you this debt." Then that man turned right around and he went over to somebody who owed him, and it's a little tiny debt. He says, "You pay me now, or else." He wouldn't forgive him his debt. Boy, when the master found out about that, he says, "Oh, that's the kind of guy he is. Throw him in jail." That's what he did. Now I'm telling you something this morning. You and I need forgiveness too. And that thing that's going to make your home operate the way it ought to operate is when you oil those sins with the oil of forgiveness. And lo and behold, when you've been forgiving towards someone, that says something to them. And sooner or later, you're going to need a little bit of that too. It makes a difference. You don't have to believe it, but it makes a difference. Why else ought you to do that? Turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians for just a moment in chapter 2. I like this. Now in 1 Corinthians, turn to 2, but in 1 Corinthians there was a man who sinned greatly. And he disappointed many people that were in the church. Don't shut them too far, I could use a little of that rain. But that's all right, no, go ahead. That's fine. But listen, we'll have somebody take care of the windows out. I've already got that taken care of outside, unless you've got automatic kind, all right? And then it'll just We'll float your boat. Amen. All right. Now listen. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and I want you to notice that here was a man who had sinned greatly, and then he had repented of his sin. Now here's what it says in verse 7. So that contrariwise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Now that's very important for you here now. When you forgive somebody that's repentant in their heart, it'll help them to a great degree. You know, it's a terrible thing. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you have sinned against somebody, and you got to the point where you know you did wrong. And you felt bad about it, and you wanted to make it right. And you said to that person, I'm sorry, I've done wrong. They said, I'll forgive you. They want your friendship. They want to be restored to that fellowship again. And you ask them for forgiveness, and they said, nope. You meant what you did. I'm not going to forgive you. You know what that does to you, don't you? That's a terrible, terrible feeling. And so that's one of the benefits that come when you are willing to forgive someone. It keeps them from being swallowed up with much sorrow. And oh, that we would learn that lesson. That we would learn it and learn it well. There's another reason. We were back in Matthew 6 a few moments ago. And Jesus Christ taught us something from this Lord's Prayer. He got down to verse 14, and he said this in response to the Lord's Prayer. For if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Right. In other words, if you hang on to grudges against somebody for something they've done, then you're never going to be able to have an open, pure, clean relationship with God Almighty. You cannot have it. As long as you continue to hang on to those debts. You say, that dirty, rotten so-and-so, I hope they get theirs. And I'm so sick and tired of being dragged down over this thing. And I remember, this person misused me. This person over here maligned me. This person over here took advantage of me. And so forth. And you will not let go of that thing. There's no way that you can have a right relationship with God and still hang on to those things.
That's right.
You just can't.
Right.
Now, you can have a workable relationship, but not a good relationship. Oh, I wish we understood that. It would make your Christian growth so much greater. It would make your Christian freedom so much greater. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be able to say, there's not a person in this world that I don't love. There's not a person in this world that I'm holding anything against. As far as I know, there's nothing between me and the Savior. There, my friend, is freedom. There's the freedom that you're looking for. And let me encourage you with that. So why, then, do you need to experience forgiveness towards other people? Well, obviously, it's going to bring forgiveness back to you when you need it, from them and from others. It's going to also bring forgiveness from God Almighty when you ask for forgiveness. And also, of course, it's going to help that person from being carried away by much sorrow. There's yet another reason in the same passage. It says, because God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. Or another passage that says that. Now notice that. He says, for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. You see, look, Jesus died on a cross for a purpose, my friends. He wanted forgiveness to be experienced. That's why he paid the price. It wasn't just so that the price could be paid. No, it's so that people could experience forgiveness. Supposing he paid my price, but I couldn't experience the forgiveness, and I had to go to hell anyway. That wouldn't be any good. But Christ died for every sin, even the sin that people sin against you. Christ died for that. And so it is for his sake that we forgive people. Say, well, they're gonna get away with something. Don't worry about that right now. You worry about the glory of God. You worry about pleasing Jesus, who died for that. It's for his sake, then, that we forgive people. It's for his sake in that they see that testimony of what Christ is like when he hung on that cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And when people can see that undeserved forgiveness flowing through you, they glorify Jesus. So it's for his sake that we ought to forgive people. Say, well, they'll just sin against me some more. Don't worry about that. You do it for Jesus' sake. and He'll take care of the rest. So important that we understand that. Why do we do it?
When do we do it?
When do we forgive? Matthew chapter 18 for just a moment. Notice what it says. Matthew 18, beginning at verse 21, or I'll just read verse 21. Then came Peter unto him, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? He's going to be generous now. He says, till seven times? In other words, this same rascal comes back and he sins against me seven times. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Seven times he sins against me. Same guy. That's being gracious. Amen? It is. There's nothing wrong with that. That's gracious. Seven times. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Boy, look out for 491, man. I'm going to get you.
Amen? Huh?
No, that's not what he was teaching. You just keep on and keep on and keep on and keep on forgiving. By the time you get to counting 490, you'll be so used to forgiving folks and enjoy it so much that you won't care if they keep on sinning. Amen?
Yes, come on.
Hey, Luke. When do you forgive people? If they owe you a debt, pay it. When? Right away. While it's yet day. The same day, if you would. I believe that's important. Notice, for example, see if I can find the right one here. In Luke chapter 17, that's the next one I want. Luke 17. I like this one. This helps us open it up just a little bit more. Beginning of verse 3, it says, Take heed to yourselves, if a brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And it says, And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day, turn again unto thee, and say unto thee, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. When? Right away. Seven times in one day. Not seven times over a lifetime or over a month or whatever. A day in one day. Now, someone says, well, here it says here, if he repents. In other words, if somebody doesn't repent, then I don't need to forgive them. Is that right? No, that's not right. That's not right at all. As a matter of fact, the Bible's pretty plain, some of the portions we've just looked at. It says that we're to forgive people when they sin against us, whether they repent or whether they don't. But if they repent and come to us and ask us to forgive them, and we don't forgive them, we've committed two sins. Number one, we didn't forgive them in the first place. Number two, we didn't respond to their request for forgiveness. That's as plain as anything can be. As plain as the nose on my face, and that's as plain as anything can be. So look, God says that we ought to repent, or we ought to forgive someone when they repent. Remember what I told you a few minutes ago? Someone comes to you and says, look, I've sinned against you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. They say, nothing. Oh, my soul. And yet, that happens in families, doesn't it? Huh? That happens between husbands and wives, between children and parents, and between siblings. And it happens and it goes on, and God is disgraced. And people are harboring bitterness, and their lives are being destroyed. I don't understand that. I don't understand it. God's forgiveness is the kind where He will hold it against us no more. Does God ever remember sins? Sure He does. But He doesn't remember them against us. Amen? There's a difference. That's what He means when He says He's not going to remember the sin. He's not going to remember the sin against us. He puts as far as the east is from the west. He says, look, that's been taken care of by the blood of Jesus. Just get out of here, Satan, and stop accusing this person.
Yeah, come on.
Oh, blessed brethren and sisters in Christ, I'm so glad this morning that there's forgiveness available. Needs to be practiced. Needs to be practiced. It'll do you no good to hang on to someone's bitterness or hang on to that debt. It'll just gain interest going the wrong way.
That's right.
It'll eat you up. You're better off to be free. And then you can get the blessings of God and the things that God has for you. When you have a quarrel against any, forgive them right then. Before you enter into your prayer closet and start making requests, you best make sure you have forgiven anybody and everybody you can think of that sinned against you. In Mark chapter 11, we read this in verse 25. Listen to carefully. Mark 11 and 25. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. When ye stand praying, don't bother coming before God with all your requests when you're holding bitterness in your heart against anybody for anything. Remember the man that wanted to bring a sacrifice? God says, you leave your sacrifice right there and you go get right with your brother. Then you come back and offer your sacrifice. That's right. And your sacrifice of prayer, your sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, it's meaningless as long as you've got bitterness in your heart toward someone. Forgiveness comes first. You do that first. I wish we understood that this morning. How do we forgive people? Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4 again, where we started this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to end with this. One of the most wonderful truths I've ever seen in Scripture. I had all the excuses this while not to forgive somebody. They need to learn their lesson. If I forgive them, they'll just take advantage of it. They'll do it again. They're not going to learn anything from this. All the time I was getting in God's way. Look, you let God deal with someone else's sin as far as judgment goes. Okay? Now there's certain things that God tells us we should do. But when it comes to the matter of bringing judgment on somebody, unless we're in a place of authority where God says it's your responsibility, you get out of the way and let God do it. But you can't do that unless you forgive Him first. Because see, you're holding the bitterness and the grief and all that thing against them. You're saying, I'll get them. But you're not hurting anybody but yourself. But here's how we do it. Here's how we handle it. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to begin at verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Satan is laying a snare for you every time someone sins against you. He's trying to trap you. He's trying to get you disgusted. He's trying to get you upset. He's trying to get you to turn on that person. But the truth of the matter is, God says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Do not tear that person down, whatever you do. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good use of edifying, that may minister grace to the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed in the day of redemption. If you are holding something against somebody, then God Almighty, the Holy Spirit, is grieved that there's division in the body. And His heart is rent. Can you grieve the Holy Spirit? Yes, you can. How? By not forgiving. By bringing contempt in your heart towards someone. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge stands before the door. Now look, verse 31 says, here's what we ought to do instead. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice or grudging. Don't let any of it in your heart. It'll just bring about bitterness. It'll just bring about destruction in your life and in everybody else's life. Just don't let it stay there. Say, well, how do I get rid of it? You do verse 32, and it'll go. And be ye kind one to another. In other words, when someone sins against you, you know what it says in Matthew, and you know what it says in Romans 12. It says that we're to love our enemies, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them to despise you, and speak well and bless them that curse you. You know what it says. Go ahead and do that. And then it says, be tender-hearted. See, we get hard-hearted toward people that sin against us. Amen? All right? That's human nature. We get a hard heart against them. We're not willing to openly receive them and love them, because the old Satan just hardens our heart. Be tender-hearted, and this is forgiving one another. Now listen carefully. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. This is how we're supposed to do it, just like Christ did.
Right.
He paid the price. He had done no wrong. And He did it purely out of grace. I said it before, I'll say it again. Did you deserve to be forgiven of your sins? No. No, ma'am. No, sir. We didn't deserve to be forgiven of our sins. So God Almighty said, now, Pastor Bachman, just like you didn't deserve to be forgiven of your sins. I want you to take that same undeserved forgiveness, and I want you to grab a hold of it, and I want you to pass it on to someone else who sins against you. They don't deserve to be forgiven. Those people that have slandered you, those people that have misused you, they do not deserve to be forgiven. But forgiveness doesn't come on the basis of deserving. It comes on the basis of grace, undeserved merit and favor. That's the way He did it. He did it out of a heart of love. Let me suggest that you try loving in the life of your enemies the same thing that God loves in the life of your enemies. Have you ever thought of this? God loves your enemies? He does. I mean, did He die for your enemies on the cross? Amen? Does He want all men to come to repentance? That's right. Does He want all men to live for Him? That's right. God loves your enemies. Say, well, I don't know what it is in them that God loves. That's all right. Just say, God, help me to love in them like You love them. Makes a difference. Makes a difference. Now remember, human forgiveness will not do. It just won't cut it. You're going to have to go to God and say, God, give me forgiveness towards this person. Your forgiveness, Your divine forgiveness. And then you have to go through an act of forgiveness. I mean, you have to actually pay the debt. Not just say, I'm willing to pay the debt. Not just saying, I'll ignore the debt. No, you pay the debt. You say, with your mouth, you say, Father, I forgive them for what they have done to me. And you pay the debt. And I've suggested to many people that they take a piece of paper and they write such and such a debt from so and so. And then when they have actually paid the debt, they said, I forgive this person for this. You say, do you have to go to that person directly? No, not necessarily. Now, if there's full knowledge of everything and so forth, sometimes it's wise, but you don't always have to. You just make sure the debt's paid. Amen? And God Almighty is the one that hears. And so before God Almighty, you say, Heavenly Father, with the forgiveness You have given towards me for this person, He says, I now pay that person's debt. It is paid. It's done with. It's finished. And if Satan ever brings it up again, I'll have to send him to You, and he'll have to discuss it because You have paid the debt through My forgiveness. Will you be reminded again? Oh, yes. This time you'll know what to do with it. It's paid. P-A-I-D. And when it's paid, there is no debt. It's taken care of by the grace of God. My friend, if you're willing to be misused a little bit and answer those debts with forgiveness, God will bless you with so much you won't be able to hold it all. I promise you. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I ask you this morning, first of all, have you received the gift of forgiveness for your sins? Do you know today, if you died, that you'd go to heaven? Do you know that your sins have been forgiven? Do you know your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Say, preacher, no, I'm not sure of that. Would you like to be sure? We'll not embarrass you. We'll not call you by name, but I'd like to pray for you. I won't even pray for you by name. But if God's speaking to your heart, say, preacher, I'm not sure I've received the forgiveness. And I have eternal life. I want to be sure of that. Would you just slip up your hand and put it right back down? No one's looking around. I'll pray for you. I'm not sure, preacher. Here's my hand. Pray for me. Is there one this morning? Don't be embarrassed. You're amongst friends. Perhaps this morning God has spoken to your heart. And you realize that there have been some areas whereby you have not exercised the wonderful gift of forgiveness towards other folks. Let me encourage you to get that thing oiled up. And let's pull the blocks out that are blocking the funnel of God's blessing in your life by making sure that everyone that we're consciously aware of that sinned against us has been forgiven. It won't cost you anything but your pride. That's all it'll cost you. Heavenly Father, this morning, speak to our hearts. Oh God, how can people see Jesus, whose name is almost synonymous with forgiveness, and yet not see forgiveness in our life? I'm asking You this morning, Heavenly Father, to speak to our hearts.
And God, let's just kind of put a big stomp on Satan and his desire to help us to hold on to bitterness and grudging and strife and envy. And God, may we chase him out by the cleansing of the blood of Christ and asking you to forgive us for an unforgiving spirit and help us to practice forgiveness and keep short accounts. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. We love you and need your help this morning now. In Jesus' name, amen.